Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I mentioned in text that we've been asked to stand in solidarity in the United States with pastors today in Canada who are breaking the law and preaching on this Sunday, the 16th. Biblical morality and biblical sexuality, the understanding of the moral law of God. And they're doing so under threat of punishment from the Canadian powers that be. And yet they are standing and they're preaching. And I admire them and I want to support them. I know our church also wants to support them. And so let me read the text that probably is going to be preached all over Canada today and throughout the United States by many. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Lord, you've told us in this world we have tribulation. You've told us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that that persecution comes because the world is threatened by your kingdom. The devil is threatened by your kingdom and truth. And yet, Lord, it is hard on families, hard on pastors who must today stand against an evil movement that should not be in their way. I pray for them. I pray you give them courage, boldness, and fruit. We know that in the case of Pastor Coates, who was attacked for so many weeks that his church has doubled in size at least in that time. I pray, Lord, you would turn back on the enemy, all his efforts to stop your word and to steep us in immorality. Help us to stand strong in this country. I pray, Lord, you would give us leaders who are saved. We find very, very few that are. We find some that claim they are. We find very, very little reason to believe them. I pray, Lord, it would be genuine salvation so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all good, all godliness and sincerity. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We became aware last year of the persecution of Pastor James Coates in Canada. Canada had declared lockdowns on churches, not bars, by the way, but churches. And churches were not to meet, and Pastor Coates was in prison for weeks, kept from his family, his children, on the basis of he was a menace to society. He was not respecting the COVID regulations. That was the excuse. COVID has been a convenient excuse for a lot of wickedness. Of course, we all know COVID is a real thing. But what people have done with it is evil. We all should be bound together and hope for, you know, escape from it and cure of it. But instead, it's been taken to lead into a lot of bad things, such as what I just mentioned with Pastor Coates. You know, when I was in school, Like this morning, we look for one flake of snow, and we say that we can't go to school today. It's just one flake of snow. If one flake of snow fell, we can't go to school. Well, COVID is that one flake of snow. For measures that have never really been about health. And I think this is accurate. I've been saying this for some time. Until abortion is stopped, we can never believe that the powers that be want adults to stay well. If you kill babies, putting a mask on to save some adults, that's ridiculous. If you can kill babies, you don't care about adults. It's like you're against sugar, but you promote honey buns for all the families. We shouldn't have sugar, but I think every family should get honey buns. Last I checked, honey buns had over 50 grams of carbs in one of them, and well worth it. But if you're against sugar, you can't be for honey buns. If you're for abortion, you can't be for health of adults. COVID is an opportunity to shift more power and control to the government. I'm not being political here, really. This has always been the way government in the hands of the devil has operated. This is why we're told in Timothy by Paul that we should pray for leaders to be saved. Because leaders who are unsaved always do this. This is not an odd thing. They always do this. We've seen the efforts of the health industry, the government, all the people who have made mandates or of any different kinds, made vaccines. All of these have failed. The vaccines don't stop the COVID. We're told they might help them not be as bad. Okay, fine. But you know, a vaccine, you know, once I got the mumps vaccine, I didn't get mumps. Once I got the measles vaccine, I didn't get measles. This is probably a true vaccine in that regard. But everything has failed. Masks have failed. Social distancing has failed. Plus, it's not practiced by those in power. So it's just, governments are afraid of freedom. If humans have freedom, we might vote the wrong way. We might disagree with a government mandate. And that's just, again, throughout history, governments fear God's moral authority and God's sovereignty and God's truth. They always will. Canada now has taken the next step in this logical process. They were against COVID before, they said. As of January 8th, Canada has adopted a law banning conversion therapy. Let me read you some from that law. Conversion therapy is causing another person to undergo a conversion to something that is claimed they need. For example, a belief that it says in the preamble to the law, that a belief that heterosexuality, cisgender, gender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over other sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions is a myth. It says a conversion therapy is a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, change a person's gender identity to cisgender. Cisgender means the gender you were born with biologically. Change a person's gender expression so that it conforms to the sex assigned to the person at birth. Repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior. Repress a person's non-cisgender gender identity, or repress or reduce a person's gender expression that does not conform to the sex assigned to the person at birth. Everyone who knowingly causes another person to undergo conversion therapy, including by providing conversion therapy to that other person, is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 5 years. Similarly, everyone who knowingly promotes or advertises conversion therapy is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 2 years. Now, this is pure evil. And yet what it is saying is that you cannot try to convert people from what they say they are gender-wise or from homosexuality or other non-classical views of morality. And so the law views cisgender, biological gender, and heterosexuality as the norm, as a myth. You can't say, according to Canadian law, that it is normal to be cisgender, that is to accept that you're a boy or a girl by virtue of your biological makeup. And it is a myth. It was improper to say that heterosexuality, attraction between opposite sexes, is the norm. That is, according to Canadian law, a myth, which is to say that according to Canadian law, God is a myth. That's classic unbelief. So if you counsel someone who is who says they're gay, for example, and you say they should be heterosexual and that they're sinning, or if you tell a transgender person that the gender they were born with is the one God intends for them to have and not the one they're claiming to have, you've committed a crime and could be in prison for up to 5 years. Now, what I would love to see is for them to try to arrest the Lord when he came saying what he said when he came the first time. See how that runs for Canada. And preachers in Canada who preach the word of God, such as this passage that we have today, are subject to indictment. So that was the reaching out the Canadian pastors did to John MacArthur, asking that he would publicize a call that we would stand for biblical morality today. So that is what we're doing. An oddity on top of oddities. I'm sorry, I forgot to put the outline up. An oddity on top of oddities is the observable fact that crazy people think they aren't crazy. Crazy people think you're crazy. And the madness of our day is thought of as an advancement. That we're better off not knowing what bathroom to go to. That the hundreds and thousands of years in the past, where we were taught cisgender heterosexuality normalcy is dumb, dark minds who believe that. When society saw only two genders, you know, they don't even know how many genders there are now. Biden said at least three when he was running. I've seen as many as 150. You might want to thank God that you have a doctor, if you have a doctor today, that you got him before these modern times. One medical school is seeking teachers for their medical school based on their social justice ideas. Social justice ideas are CRT, intersectionality, all that, those things, white supremacy, blah, blah, blah. They're seeking teachers who believe that human organs, the organs that we are born with, are not gender specific, that we do not have gender specific organs. So you want to thank God if your doctor has not gotten educated into that. Otherwise, you might go to the doctor and he come in looking all disturbed and sad, saying, I'm sorry to tell you, but your uterus is missing and you're a man. We got to put the we got to find a uterus, Scott, to get back in you. My uterus is missing. How did that happen? It's a big thing today that men must have babies. Men must have babies. This is a total unjust thing that only women can have babies. Men have got to have babies. And they call us crazy. It's amazing to see how quickly modern gender and sexuality ideas have swept over the world. Canada has been like that, seems. I don't think a majority of people in Canada, majority of people in the United States accept these things. So what we see is a constant evangelism process going on all the time, on social media, in movies, TV shows, commercials. I saw a commercial yesterday. I was resting in the living room. And I was watching the ball game. And a commercial came out. I don't remember what the commercial was about. It was about something that made one person feel better. It was two gay men and a dog. Two gay men, and they were sitting together, and I'll love you, on the couch. And what it was about wasn't the point of the commercial. The point of the commercial is to normalize to us that two gay men is a completely proper way to live. Commercials don't sell products. We are the product. We're being sold. It's in movies. In movies now, men are always dunces, weaklings. 90-pound women are knocking 250-pound men around like they're nothing, while the men are holding the babies and cooking in the kitchen, which men can do. But you see where it's coming from. Now, the lesson of Canada first. Canada's had a reputation of being syrupy friendly and easygoing. I mean, it's just kind of like a Canadian is the friendliest of the bunch. We grew up with Dudley Do-Right of the Canadian Mounted Police. Dudley Do-Right did right. The United States has always been the more racy neighbor. I don't know where Sin City is in Canada, but I sure know where it is in the United States. We have Sin City. Canadians, we always thought, you know, just they're just minding their own business, laid back, friendly people. And today, based on this law, it's illegal to call men to repentance and faith in Christ. It's illegal to do what Jesus did when he preached here on earth. We turned our heads for a second, and Canada is given to evil. And we're told that on the bill that was voted on in December in Canada, not one conservative voted against it. It was unopposed, basically. And that's another illustration of why it says in Revelation 21:8 that the cowardly will not inherit heaven, that they end up in hell. Because you cannot be a coward to these things and be saved. I don't know why Dad is calling me now. Casey does it again. The devil is the god of this age. The devil hates conversion to Christ. He hates truth, and he hates morality. And he loves conformity to godlessness and error and immorality. That's why the devil lives in several cities in the United States. He lives in San Francisco. He lives in New York. He lives in Washington. He's got other places too. He loves that. Peter tells us the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means we must be on constant vigil. If a nation, if a church, if people are not in constant vigil of the devil's tactics, we'll be taken down. So we see it in the world now. Being friendly is not enough for Canada. Being friendly is not enough for anybody. We must stand for the truth of God. It must be in us. It must be in our spine. It must be in our blood. Otherwise, the devil says boo and we run. The devil no longer has to sneak around because the world has gone loony. We've known the world is loony for a long time. It's at a new level of loony. I always knew the world was loony when we'd go vote. And they'd ask us if we'd like for the city of Orangeburg to charge us more taxes. And I said, every time I said no. And every time it passed and they charged us more taxes. I knew people were crazy then. It's just gone far beyond that now. Now, the answer to the eternal torment of being alienated from God in the fires of hell, which whether we like to think of it or not, is where we go if we don't believe in Christ. The solution to that is faith in Jesus Christ. And so what is against the law in Canada? Faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, they say, we don't want our people to hear that. It's worse than that, though. What Canadian government is saying is that we don't want our children, our mothers, our fathers, our spouses to hear how to get out of hell. We want to protect them from the mercy of God. We want to protect them from the grace of God. We want to protect them from conversion therapy. So now Canada is just as dark as any of the Eastern nations that ban conversion from Hinduism, for example, like in India, or Islam in other places. This is a nation against light bulbs in the dark. Oh, we can't have light bulbs. Yeah, but we're falling around the dark. Oh, we can't have light bulbs. That's what's happened in Canada. God really does get to set the rules. What people are doing today is just disagreeing with God, and they think it's going to go. You know, God's got his opinion, they got theirs. God is holy and righteous and sovereign. And God's laws proceed from his character and sovereignty. And the current state of the world is mimicking the devil, the god of this world. So when God was feared more in our society, we didn't, you know, do these things. This level of corruption was not the same level. We still have corruption, but it was not the same. Every one of us knows someone who's been swallowed by this evil of they don't know what gender they are. They think they can take another gender or sexuality. They think that they can be whatever sexuality they want to be. But we all know people who are completely overcome by this. And who do they think are the stupid ones? Us. And now you got laws like in Canada saying, yeah, you got to let them go. Every one of us knows someone like that. And the unexpressed thought is that we can just avoid the sentence of God by making a law. Verse 9 says, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Inheriting the kingdom of God means you get in. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. One January, I think it was, Cindy and I went to Hilton Head a long time ago. I was in the market for golf clubs back then. Went to a golf course in Hilton Head. And wanted to hit some some balls on the range, test a club that I had gotten a demo of. But I was unworthy of it because I had blue jeans on. I said, I'm sorry. You'd have to dress appropriately. If you want to hit balls on the range. You see, the country club wouldn't even let me buy a bucket of balls to get on their driving range. And yet people believe that they'll live however they want to live, have all manner of unrighteousness, and get into heaven. God will not allow one person into heaven who is not righteous. And the only way we can become righteous is to become righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that is Jesus's must be applied to us. That's what happens when we repent of our sin, which is illegal in Canada to tell people about, and place our faith in Christ. I've told you that that hand transfer that took place in the Old Testament is symbolic of that. The sacrificer would lay their hands or a hand on the sacrifice, symbolically giving the sacrifice their sins. The sacrifice, the spotless lamb, would die for those sins. At the same time, the spotless lamb was symbolic of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that symbolic righteousness would come to us, the sacrificer. And so the sin would go one way, the righteousness would come the other way, and we would have a standing of righteousness temporarily in anticipation of Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ now, repentance is we place our hands on Christ and we give up our sins and they go to Jesus and he dies for them. But at the same time, his righteousness comes to us. So now, and that sin, that sacrifice is once for all. Now when God sees those who have repented and trusted Christ, he sees the righteousness of Jesus, not the sin. What people are trying to do today is keep the sin and still get to heaven. It is impossible to happen. Only those that God approves. It may be trendy. It may be people are affirming you, approving of you. It's very popular to be a transgender or homosexual. You'll win all the movie awards, but it's just in the eyes of God, it's not going to change. God has his standard. He has every right to make it. And we only get there by Christ. So the unrighteous are not to be deceived. Verse 9 also says, do not be deceived. We're told do not be deceived. That's an aorist tense, I think, in the Greek. It's just, right now, don't be deceived. At this point, do not be deceived. Make sure that you right now firmly say, I'm not going to be deceived by this, because look what's happened. People are deceived all over the place. The Corinthians were deceived. They thought they could live like they used to live and still go to heaven. That's why this is written. The deception is you can be immoral. Do your best. Be better than others. Still get to heaven. And people, the more people who say that and affirm you in that, the greater the deception. I haven't done this. I just thought of this while I was looking this morning at this outline. I bet if you went online and searched for a scar that you have on your face that you say looks like Elvis Presley, I bet if you do that, you'll probably find people all over the world who have that same scar. I just thought of it this morning. You got a scar that looks like Elvis Presley. And if you see like 1,000 people say they have it, well, then you're going to know that Elvis has somehow branded you with his favor. Deceit is wrong. A person who deceives is wrong. All these cult leaders are wrong. All these preachers that get away from the scriptures, they're wrong. But to whom is this command given? Do not be deceived. It's given to us. It's not don't let them be deceivers. It's don't be deceived. There's always going to be someone trying to deceive us. And when people don't watch out for that, look what's happened. So Paul lists things that are unlawful to say in Canada. It'll get you kicked off Twitter, probably, Facebook. Said, don't be deceived. And there's a list. That these people will not get in the fornicators. Fornication is sex outside of marriage. Idolaters is worshiping a false god, whether physically or mentally. Adulterers is violating your marriage bond by sex with someone outside of your marriage bond. Effeminate is someone who's pretending to be a girl. It's paired here with homosexuals, and some versions will say, you know, sodomites. The effeminate are those who are acting like girls in a homosexual relationship. The homosexuals in this case, when they're together, would be a person who is acting like the man, but they're together sexually. Thieves, people that steal things. Covetous, people who are greedy and pursuing riches. Revilers are people who are just mean. Swindlers are people who trick you. So would you want to be in a place where all these people are? Heaven would not be this way. It would be heaven if that. Now, a lot of these things we've already accommodated. Fornication, we don't care about. Adultery, we don't care about. Adultery, we don't care about. Effeminate homosexuals, we don't care about. Thieves bother us sometimes. People being covetous, we don't care. Revilers, we don't like if they're reviling us. Swindlers, we don't like if they're swindling us. So maybe 6 out of 9 we're good with in this society. That leads us to verse 11, the overcoming, the stigma of wickedness. There are two methods here to overcome this. The world's method is to stay as you are, accept the way you are, and ward off any attempts to make you change. Make a law. You think God in heaven said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Canada made a law against something I said I was going to judge. You think he's worried about that? Normalize sinful behavior. Normalize it. That men who are men are pretending to be women and winning all the women's swimming competition. Just normalize that. And also you reap shame on virgins, for example, in high school. You're still a virgin? Well, they want to shame you into being a sexually active fornicator. Swamp the airwaves daily with constant affirmations of evil, how good it is to be evil. I mean, this used to be MTV's job. Now it's social media, movies, TV shows. And violently attack all dissension. This law is one method of that. Also the mobs. This is called woke. This is called being aware. This is called being enlightened. It's woke. Whenever you see someone is woke, you're people talking about woke of social justice and morality, it means they're in darkness, but they want you to be just as much in darkness as them and call it light. God's method. Look at it there in verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. God's method is to become a new person. The world's method is to stay as you are and put an unholy fuss up with everybody else who won't accept you that way. Some of the Corinthians were just like those the world today would favor. They would win all the awards. They would be praised by Hollywood. But they were washed. They were converted. They got conversion therapy by the gospel. Sin is likened to dirt and grime. When we sin it, we get dirty. We soil our garments and the Lord makes them white. We see that in the letters in Revelation, that we're blessed if our garments have been made white by God. They were washed, the Corinthians. They were sanctified. It means to be made holy. They didn't clean themselves like the world often tries to do, and then try to maintain themselves by their own power. But the holiness of Christ made them holy, and they were made holy in the sight of God and given a holy disposition. So they were washed and they were sanctified and they were justified. That means to be declared righteous, to be declared in conformity with the righteousness of God, that their standing before God is righteous in Christ. They've been made holy. And this took place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is the agent of regeneration. Christ is the object of our faith. He's the one who gives us holiness and righteousness and takes our sin. So you can stay the way you are, and really, you're worse off that way. Or you can become a new person and have the joy of God in eternal life. And who's really loving who in Canada? The ones who are loving Canadians are being threatened with imprisonment for trying to convert people to Christ. And the ones who are hating Canadians are affirming their sin and rejecting Christ. There's a warning in this for us. Stay close to God and His Word actively, or you may become a Canadian. You know what I mean? The Canadian people don't all believe this. But the same system, you can adapt. You can be changed. If you don't stand for something, you'll get swept right away. Pray for these brave pastors and men of God, that they'll stand firm, and that men of God here would stand firm. It's so easy when the pressure mounts to give it up and pray for the salvation of rulers, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ and stop this madness. Let's pray. We're thankful to you, Lord, for the wonders of your word and the wonders of salvation. Lord, that the world wants us to feel sorry for ourselves, that we know you, that we're so dark now in our minds. But Lord, it's the darkness of our minds that keeps us from you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help these pastors in Canada. Help them be strong. I pray you'd bear great fruit. I pray, Lord, that the fruit would be so great that they'll withdraw the law because they see it's tending more to grow the kingdom of God than to hinder it. They'd be embarrassed and ashamed, and that they would be saved. And in this country, Lord, save our president, save our vice president, save the members of Congress, people in authority on local levels, all the way to that. That this constant onslaught of the devil's morality would be stopped. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.